It's 8:01. This is KBNF Regional News for Friday, January 9th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Grand Junction City Council approved a new affordable housing project for seniors. KBNF's Laura Pomisano reports.
The Grand Junction Housing Authority wants to build a 128-unit apartment complex for seniors. The City Council unanimously approved the affordable housing project Wednesday night. The Housing Authority plans to build the complex on a 4-acre parcel near St. Mary's Hospital. Kristen Ashbeck with the city is a senior planner on the project.
It's definitely a good area for that kind of housing because being so close to the hospital and other medical services, it will be within about a half a mile of a new city market. It's right on a bus line, so it's very accessible.
Ashbeck says construction on the complex could start this fall. The apartments will be for seniors with low to moderate incomes. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
The city of Montrose is moving along with its plan for fiber optic internet. Last spring, the city asked voters to okay getting into the business of providing internet. Over 70% said yes. City Manager Bill Bell says that after months of talks, meetings, and conferences, the city will begin laying fiber optic lines on city property.
City Council recently adopted a resolution that gives direction to city staff when we go out and we do construction projects in all of our rights of way, being sidewalks, curb and gutter, and street projects. When we dig the trench, we need to drop conduit and fiber into the ground so we're ready to go when the connections are possible.
Right now, the city is waiting on a study by Region 10 to calculate the cost of the entire project. There are so many variables right now, it's hard to tell what the grand total will be, but they're saving up.
We prefer here in the city of Montrose to pay as we go for things. We don't like borrowing money. And so we would prefer to save money in our general fund to pay for things like this. But if it comes in at a price where we need to do something else, then we'll definitely talk to our community and see what our community wants to do.
Some members of the city government will be going to a conference in Kansas City, one of the few gigabyte cities in the U.S. 100 lawmakers across Colorado converged on the state capitol Wednesday for opening day of the legislative session. Freshman lawmakers from both parties were officially sworn into office, and both chambers have new leaders. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Much of the day's attention was focused on the Senate, where Republicans gained the majority for the first time in a decade. For all their gains, newly elected Senate President Bill Cabman of Colorado Springs gave a rather subdued speech, talking less about policy and more on building trust and civility among lawmakers.
I've seen this process bring out the best in each of us when relationships prevail over partisanship. I've learned there are countless opportunities here to make a point, but there are limited opportunities here to make a difference.
But Cabman did outline some goals. He wants to roll back costly, useless regulations, improve school safety, and reduce student testing. One expected debate will center on refunds mandated by the Taxpayers' Bill of Rights, or TABOR. With the economy recovering, those kick into gear, Cabman says he doesn't think the state should keep that money.
The people of Colorado made that decision for us, and more importantly, the people of Colorado made that decision for themselves. Their constitution tells us it's their money, they want it back, and we should give it back.
The GOP only holds a one-seat majority in the Senate. Former Majority Leader Democrat Raleigh Heath of Boulder says it was still a tough loss.
And we all know that elections have consequences. And this year, the consequences for us, those of us that have a D after our name, are not quite as good as those that have an R after their name.
But Democrats remain in control of the House, and Dickie Lee Hollinghorst was sworn in as the first Democratic woman speaker and only the second female speaker of the House in state history. She wants to prioritize building up the middle class and protecting the environment. The one thing absent from opening day was mention of controversial topics such as gun control policies and renewable energy mandates. Although those debates will happen in the coming months, the start of the session is always a cordial time. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
And finally, while winter recreation becomes increasingly popular, avalanche danger is still present. For more on recent activity, we turn to KBNF's Jake Ryan.
Within the past week, two people in Colorado have died in an avalanche, the most recent one just above Silverton. Ethan Green is the director of the Colorado Avalanche Information Center. They track avalanche dangers and investigate fatalities.
So those are, you know, the biggest accidents, the most tragic, of course, where people actually lose their lives. The first one was on December 31st, and it was on Kelso Mountain. We had a couple of climbers, a group of three, that were headed up to do a route on Torres Peak, which is a popular 14er. And as they were traversing on snowshoes into the drainage following a packed track, they drifted fairly close to the flanks of Kelso Mountain and crossed an avalanche pass kind of in the lower portion of the track, triggered the avalanche from below, and one of them was caught and buried. The other two performed rescue, but weren't able to save him, and unfortunately, he died. The other accident was two backcountry skiers near the town of Silverton. They were skiing on Kendall Mountain, which is right above the town of Silverton, and decided to descend an avalanche pass, locally known as Rabbit Ears, and one of them was caught in the slide and ran down into some trees. He was critically injured, and her partner tried to do first aid and called 911. There's a helicopter and search and rescue response, really a pretty amazing response by the Flight for Life avalanche deployment team and the local search and rescue groups, and really I think a lot of people in the Silverton community, and they ended up bringing this young woman out in the dark and flying her to the hospital in the helicopter. But unfortunately, she did not survive the accident and died related to the injuries that she sustained in the avalanche.
For the past several years, Colorado has had about 5 or 6 avalanche fatalities a year. But recently, that number has jumped up to 8 and 11. It's difficult to know if this is an increase or if the previous years were unusually low. Either way, Green advocates safety on the slopes. Around the western slope, from the Grand Mesa to the Gunnison area to the northern San Juans, the center has labeled the mountains moderate, 2 out of 5 for danger. Even though that's relatively low, a lot of deaths historically happen at this range.
And what this means is that there's a lot of places where you can go and do great recreation, but we have the structure in the snowpack that is conducive for avalanching, and there are certain places where people will be able to trigger avalanches, and these avalanches right now that we're seeing are large enough to bury and kill somebody.
He says the most avalanche-prone areas are the northwestern to northern to northeastern sides of a mountain, at or above treeline. He advises anyone going to the backcountry to take a beacon, a probe, and a shovel. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Up next, DJ MJ and the Friday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.